This is Corey. With me always is Dan.
Hello.
And it's been probably another couple weeks since we've done one of these.
Yep.
But we're still chugging along. It's winter hibernation season. I don't know where you live and you're listening to this, but in Missouri it has been really cold.
Mm-hmm. Arctic vortex.
Yes.
It must be a super villain.
Snowpocalypse or something. It's been pretty nasty, at least with the temperature. Thus, we had one real bad snow and just the really bad temperatures.
So mm-hmm.
We've all been kind of hiding out. We're going to talk about a couple of things this week. I think one of the things that we're going to talk about is the upcoming St. Louis Comic Con coming up in April.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's April 4th through the 7th, or April 5th through the 7th. 5th, 6th, and 7th. So, Dan and I are going. I know Tina Sabi is going.
Mm-hmm. We haven't bought our tickets yet, but we're going.
I have no idea if Joe is going.
Well,
Joe. I imagine Joe will show up in some form or another. And I imagine Brian will go.
Yeah, he's already. He already said he's going.
Yeah. I went ahead and purchased a ticket, and Dan and I were just beginning to talk about this before the
show.
So
which ticket did you purchase?
Okay, well, I'm going to give you the method to my madness.
Oh, God.
So, I think tickets for Comic-Con this year are in the neighborhood of $65 to $70.
Mm-hmm. For the standard, get you in. You can see the stuff.
That's, yeah, dealer hall. The three-day pass.
Yeah.
Which isn't too bad.
Yeah.
Now, if you go to Comic-Con, they have a lot of artists, they have a lot of celebrities, mm-hmm. and you know, while there's a lot of celebrities I'd like just to meet, say mm-hmm. hi, like your stuff, there's other ones that would be like, you know, cooler to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I kind of chose that I was going to want to meet this year was Bruce Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Army of Darkness, love Evil Dead, Bubba Hotep.
Burn Notice.
I haven't started watching Burn Notice yet. But I've liked him in a number of things, mm-hmm. and so I wanted to, you know, kind of meet him. It's kind of the same way I met James Hong last mm-hmm. year. And this year they had VIP packages. I think the only one last year really that had a big VIP package like that was Stan Lee.
I think a lot of people had them, but it was really like it was Stan Lee, Billy Dee Williams. I think one or two others had like a $200 package or something. Yeah.
Well, this package is $199. It gets you a three-day pass mm-hmm. to the thing. You get the
$65 value.
Yeah, you get the VIP badge, which means you get mm-hmm. on the floor before everybody else. It's like on Saturdays and Sundays mm-hmm. you can go and get in
an hour earlier.
It's like I think it is something like that. You get in earlier than everybody else, and then you also kind of get a speed pass
mm-hmm.
for to the autograph mm-hmm. line, because that's one of the things that is. It's different, like a lot of the cons, like we go to mm-hmm. Contamination,
mm-hmm.
you know, you walk right up to the table with most of these celebrities, and you mm-hmm. walk up and say, hey, I really liked you in this, whatever, and mm-hmm. then you move on. You know, at these places, there's kind of like a little cattle line,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little more of a business. Mm-hmm. You know, when they get you to the front, you know, it's nice that you want to say that you liked him in something, mm-hmm. but they prefer it if you were dropping, you know, $30 or $40 on an autograph or whatever they're charging for it. And I think, like, last year, I think James Hong was one of the actual, less expensive autographs.
Yeah.
It was $35, I think, for an autograph and mm-hmm. a photo. So, that's what I did last year. So, but I imagine, I know Shatner's going to be mm-hmm. there this year. Mm-hmm. I imagine his autographs are going to probably be up
Shatner.
There. Yeah, Bruce Campbell's are probably, I imagine, going to be somewhere in the $40 to $50 range. You know, they're going to have Eliza Dushku, they're going to have mm-hmm. All sorts of people. So it's like for your $200, mm-hmm. you get a photo, you get an autograph,
mm-hmm.
which I basically consider to be
about $30 value.
About a $40 value. Well, I've been talking to you.
$40 value.
You know, then you also get a lithograph.
So, okay, so with the badge and the autograph, you're up to what, $120? Well, you said it was $40. Okay, 40? Yeah, no, you're right, $105
value. There. Then you get a lithograph.
Mm-hmm. Priceless.
Which could be, well, these friggin', your friend goes to Comic-Con every year for these friggin' things and sells them online. So, one of the lithographs there, and it's like there are certain booths there that sell lithographs mm-hmm. that the VIPs can just get for free.
Mm-hmm.
So your VIP badge can also get you free lithographs. You
collect
all the different lithographs.
Potential value. Okay, yeah. We'll put that in the potential value.
But if you were going to purchase them, how much are you looking at?
Oh, I don't even know. I don't know. So, like, some of them you can't buy,
right?
Because they're con exclusives. But right. I'm not in the lithograph market. So.
Well, let's say $30.
Yeah, we'll put that on the side. So what else?
So we're up to $135. Mm-hmm. So then you get the photo op.
Okay. Which
last year
was 40.
Autograph was 40.
The photo op was another 20.
I think those were, no, because if you had the professional photo op thing where you had to get the ticket, those were $40 last year.
Oh, you won the professional photo op? Okay, all right.
So that's another $40 plus the $30 for a lithograph. So you're looking at like $175. Okay.
Then plus you get the speed pass.
The speed pass for all that stuff, so you kind of get whizzed through the lines. Plus, you get reserved seating at his panel.
Okay.
Which, at these panels, at Comic-Con, they don't clear them out.
Unless
it's the VIP section and you're one of the VIPs, then you kind of get to
go. I will say about that is, like, last year here in St. Louis, that was not an issue. It's like,
no. Stanley would have been an issue because Stanley had a line around.
But very few of them were, like, you couldn't get into. Now, this year, I think it's going to be a completely different story.
Yeah.
Because it's bigger, badder, more impressive. They're bringing more people in. Mm-hmm. And I have heard stories about other Comic-Cons where people will get there at 7 in the morning when they open and camp in the first available spot and stay there all day for a 5 o'clock panel with X.
Right.
Or with some movie trailer or what have you.
And there's people that I would like to see. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go see the guy who played Wash. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see his panel. He's pretty funny.
Alan Tudyk,
He's really funny. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see Eliza Dushku's panel, maybe. I mean, she's really cute and everything, but it's like, other than that, it's like I've seen her on Buffy, which I've been watching.
Ooh.
It's where my dog,
Tina will be happy.
My new dog that I got, that's where he got his name.
Oh, I was going to, anyway, that's a conversation for later. I was going
to
ask you about that.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, so you get the photograph, which is at least $40. Mm-hmm. The autograph, which is probably, I would say, for Bruce Campbell, is probably going to be on the low side, about $40. The lithograph, which is probably another $30 to $40, you know, plus your ticket, plus guaranteed seating, which saves me from having to stand 5 hours in line to see somebody.
Now, do you also get the meet and greet?
This is the higher packet.
Okay,
there's only one thing there that I think has a meet and greet, and that is the Green Power Ranger guy.
Okay.
He has a little meet and greet and a private Q&A, and that's, I think, $75 for him. So anyway, you know, I thought that was a pretty decent deal. I mean, if you're just looking at price and if there's one particular person, you know, that you really wanted to see. So it's like, you know, I'd like to see him and, cause I've just enjoyed his stuff and there you go.
And you know what? Okay. So before I start my side of the conversation, it's like I think Corey and I are two different people in this way.
Right.
Where I think you get very excited when there are celebrities there to meet. That you want to meet.
Yeah, like, definitely. Yeah.
And it's like even like lower level celebrity, you know, the Kane Hodders and, you know, of the world all the way up to, you know.
Yeah.
Shatner. Not that you want to meet Shatner, but let's put Shatner at the top of the dork pyramid, you know. Pyramid.
No, don't put Shatner.
There's always Shatner at the top.
Yeah. I don't want to put Shatner there.
And for some people, it's very, you know, you want to meet them and get their autograph and have like a little, like, Will Wheaton kind of talks about this from the other side that it took him a while to realize that what people want is just a few minutes with someone that represents something that they really enjoyed. Like when people came to see him at cons, it's like what they didn't so much care necessarily about him, but it's like they wanted to touch some of the, not, you know, metaphorically touch. Please do not go around touching Will Wheaton. But, you know, they wanted a piece of that. Yeah. They wanted that a piece of that. That was important for them.
Well, it's like, for me, it's like, the way I basically look at it is, I will probably in my life never have the opportunity to work or... you know, whatever with these people. And, you know, the way I feel about it is, it's like I'd like to basically kind of go up and say, you know what? I've enjoyed what you've done. It's made me happy at one point or another. Thanks for doing it. And then that's it. I'm not the kind of... If I saw them at a restaurant, I'd leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
Now if I was waiting in line at a restaurant and they were standing there, I might say, hey, I enjoyed you and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and that's cool to me because it's like, you know, to me, it's like, it's always nice as an artist, like, because when people come up and they're like, hey, I liked what you drew or whatever, that's really cool. Or if somebody likes one of my stories, that's really cool. And it's like, I like getting the compliment. And I figure, you know, they probably hear it a lot more than anybody else, but it's an environment where it's it's accepted. So, you know, if I can walk up and say, I enjoyed your movies, thanks a lot for coming to see us, and then that'd be it. That's how I feel about it.
See, I'm on the other side of the spectrum. Well, it's like, you know, and through the podcast, we have met way more celebrities than any of us would have ever met on our on our own.
Right.
Let's just, you know, we'll just throw that out. And by celebrity, I mean, you know, all these people are celebrities in their own way. It's not like we're hobnobbing with, you know, Tom Cruise every weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not that we would want to. But anyway, Shatner.
I know you would, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like to jump up on couches and declare my love for people on Oprah.
He was excited, and I wish people would leave him alone.
Why would you leave Britney Spears alone?
You don't know that he'd never been laid before that.
It wouldn't surprise me.
You know.
So anyway, you know, I am on the other side of the spectrum when it's like celebrities are like, oh, hi. You know, I guess I can't really think of, there are a very few number of celebrities where I would pay extra to have like a meet. Because even, I guess for me, my, like, you know, I'm a huge Alton Brown fan.
Right.
And I guess I can't even think of if I have, like, if he did something like this at a Comic-Con, he had like a $200 Alton Brown package where you got the thing and the stuff and the whatever. I don't think I would do it. It's just not part of my, I won't say fandom experience, where I'm like, oh man, you know, it'd be really cool if I meet him and get to say hello and I really enjoy your work.
Right.
It doesn't do a whole lot for me, and I know you have been down on cons for not having good celebrities. Where I am, I guess I think Comic-Con is a big enough con that, and even though the St. Louis con, you know, I'm going to put this in perspective, St. Louis con is not going to be the biggest Comic-Con by far, and this is a Wizards World Comic-Con. It's not like a San Diego Comic-Con. Which is a different company.
I think
it's Wizard.
Well, it's,
I thought Wizard
they,
was separate.
They expanded out.
I don't know. I think Wizard, anyway, but I think there's enough going on that you can come at it from your own perspective. It's like you don't have to go to Comic-Con just because you want to meet celebrities.
Right.
There is other stuff going on. They're like, I'm going to go, and I'm going to be going through the dealer hall and shopping.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
But see, the thing is, it's like, you know. That's the thing. The dealer hall is full of comic book artists. Mm-hmm. They're full of comic book writers.
Yeah.
They're full of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And all the panels are 95% of them are probably all celebrity related.
See, but here, let me put it this way. It's like the panels I necessarily get excited about are not, even though, okay, I'm not going to spare the James Marster panel from last year. That guy was really, like, as a entertainer.
Right,
he was really cool, and he really understood kind of his place in this environment.
Right,
where he was pretty much all about, like, answering the questions, and he's like, you cannot embarrass me, just ask me anything.
Right,
and he had a very entertaining panel.
Yeah,
but it's like the panels I tend to like too are like, you know, we went to the one where they were talking about, like, behind the scenes of how they made Voltron.
Right,
like, you know, it's like, I guess for me, it's like the celebrities are not as important for the panels to be
interesting
for me. Right. And it's like, you know, there's a game room where you can go in between panels and play games.
Right.
You know, I love the dealer hall. And it's like the panels are also like Tina went to a panel about, like, you know, expanding your, like, creative writing and and it's like there are more informative.
See, but I think there's going to be less of those this year.
You think there'll be less of those?
They got so many more celebrities this year. They've got Adam West and the guy that played Robin.
See, but I don't think it's an either. Now, admittedly, the schedule hasn't come out yet, so we don't know. I don't think it's an either or proposition. The America Center is huge, and last year they were in a small corner of it. There are several more halls of that size down the way,
right?
And more meeting rooms upstairs, and so I think they could still have those. and have the big rooms for the celebrity meet, you know, not meet and greets, but panels.
Right.
So, but I think that's what I'm saying is, like, you know, for me, when you're saying, oh, I'm going to spend $200 and go, so I'm like, oh, okay, Bruce Campbell, tell him I said yeah. Hi.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like, we're probably not going to conglomeration this year, unfortunately. Yeah. It's just not working
too
out.
Many other commitment, and, family yeah. commitments.
So it's like, this is my real big
mm-hmm.
splurge
for the year.
So it's like, you know, I'll get to go there and, you know, meet somebody that mm-hmm. I wanted to meet, and that's yeah. it. And it's like, to me, it was just, it's like, if I were going to stand in line for mm-hmm. any of this stuff, I'd be wasting most of my time.
Yeah.
You know, and I imagine that if I can get in to the dealer halls early and mm-hmm. get what I want and look around and do all those things, I can start getting in line for the things that mm-hmm. I do want to see. And then I've got guaranteed seating to the one panel that I know mm-hmm. I really want to go mm-hmm. to. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's to me, it seemed like it was worth the price.
So just remember this, everyone. When we start talking about Archon,
yeah,
and Corey starts talking about how it's too expensive.
Let me explain to you.
Uh-huh.
Archon's the same price.
Uh huh.
They
see,
have...
no, it's the same price. See, they don't have celebrities, so you're not.
No, they don't.
You're not interested.
They don't have. Okay, but here's the deal: if there was a comic book show mm-hmm. in town,
mm-hmm.
and they had no artists,
mm-hmm.
and they had no writers, mm-hmm. nobody from a comic book thing, it was just a bunch of people in a room with a mm-hmm. bunch of comics, I wouldn't care. I can go to the fantasy shop any mm-hmm. day of the week and look at comics. I can go to any comic book store mm-hmm. any day of the week and look at comics. You know, if I'm going to go someplace and I'm going to spend some money, I want mm-hmm. a different experience. It's like, I don't want to pay $65 to walk into a dealer hall that is selling all the same mm-hmm. stuff that my local gaming store sells that I can walk into for free.
See, but with Archon,
I can go to the
though,
I can
okay.
go to the fantasy shop any day of the week and get involved in a board game mm-hmm. or a role playing game or do any of those other kind of gaming mm-hmm. things. I don't need to pay $65 to go do it.
See, but this is the same thing. I could say is like, why are you spending $200 to go meet Bruce Campbell?
Hmm? Because I can't yeah. meet him any other way.
So that's to say, you know, that's how you've chosen to spend and your money. If somebody wants to spend $65 and go to Archon and they're like, man, it's great, you know. There's all these people.
Okay,
I don't get to see all the
if
time.
If Bruce Campbell worked the register at my local gaming mm-hmm. store, but then they were going to charge $200 mm-hmm. to see him at a local
venue.
See,
but they're not
venue.
Charging $200. See, that's not the same thing. So you go to Archon, it's people. There's probably a lot of people. That's the only time you see them that year, even though, you know, it's like just for various reasons. You can go and play games with different people. The costume events are pretty cool. You're not going to see all these people, like, you're not going to go to the game store every weekend and see 200 people in costumes.
But is that $65 worth of entertainment?
I don't know. It is for me.
Okay. Well, then that's good.
See, it just kind of kills me a little. See, and that's where I'm getting at is that, see, you get so down. And I'm not saying Archon could not be a little and cheaper. And I will put
okay,
it this way:
with the lineage that Archon has.
Mm-hmm.
Archon should be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
You know, I think that's a, I don't mean not necessarily a conscious choice, but as you get, you know, it's kind of like, you know, to butcher a mm-hmm. phrase, mo money, mo problems. Okay.
Right.
You know, if you get too big, then you have to go the Archon route. It's like, how much bigger are you going to get? Do you have to get a bigger venue to handle the people? Do you have, like, what do you have to add to justify having this bigger venue to pay the bigger? Because trust me, America Center costs a butt ton more than the Gateway Center.
Okay, but I mean, take a look at Contamination versus
mm-hmm.
Archon.
Mm-hmm.
Contamination has a number of guests. They have mm-hmm. a dealer hall. They have
see, but
panels.
that is a completely different type of event, though. See,
but the thing is,
Contamination makes a lot of money.
And Contamination is mm-hmm. like $40 for a whole mm-hmm. weekend, as opposed to a $65 ticket where there's just
see.
Games.
But let me tell you, like the reason it's cheaper is because they know almost everyone that walks in that door is going to buy an autograph. And those people have paid for those tables and probably pay a portion of their proceeds back to Contamination for their fee.
I guess.
That's what I'm saying is there's more of a money making drive there.
It's just like I'd rather spend the mm-hmm. $15 on game day like we
mm-hmm.
did at Christmas and go to a game day
mm-hmm.
than to go to an Archon. Because to me, it's the same thing.
See, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't see it as the same thing. It's a different atmosphere. It's a different, you know, admittedly, it's like, I like the room parties, I probably am not going to drink very much at room parties anymore. That doesn't seem to go very well. And
that's a whole nother story.
That's a whole nother story. We'll discuss that later. How Dan gets drunk at room parties. But it's like, you know, but I'm saying it's a different type of atmosphere. So I like the game days at Fantasy Shop. I think they're worth every penny you pay. But the thing with Archon, what I was going to say before is that if you buy your ticket the last day of Archon, it's only $45 for the next year. And then it's only $50, I think, if you get it before Christmas, and then it's $55 from Christmas to whatever.
I don't know. I can really, all I've been to one Archon. Mm-hmm. I didn't even pay to be there. I was just kind of,
yeah,
at, we were,
yeah,
at Westport.
Yeah.
And we were just, we had our ninja suits on.
Yeah.
And we were ninjing. But, you know, it was neat kind of seeing the people in the costumes.
This is the reason. See, I've kind of, this is what the realization I've kind of come to just about you in particular. The parties have almost zero appeal for you. It's like the costumes are cool, but you're not necessarily like, you know.
I'm not a huge drinker, though.
You're not a huge drinker. So, and it's like one of the draws of Archon for everyone that doesn't know is free beer on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Now, I would say for you, if they would give you a alcohol-free badge, like if they're like, hey, it's $65.
Right.
But if you're like saying, hey, I either don't drink, can't drink, shouldn't drink, it's going to be $45.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to cut 20, you know, 20 bucks off the price for unlimited, or 15 bucks the price off. I think that would bring it more in line, because even if you go to like Geekway to the West, which is a 4-day strictly gaming convention here in St. Louis, it's $35 or $45 for the prepaid, which would bring it down to closer to what Archon would be.
Right. You know, and it's like, you know, it.
But
it's
here's
just
the
all
other
matter.
Thing: is that Archon small enough? It can only be one type of convention. So if you're not,
I don't know, but see, Joe was talking about years ago that they used to have different guests and celebrities
and
all that stuff that used to come there. And
I
it's not like a much more, in my opinion, when I see a lot of these sci-fi conventions, it's like they usually have a couple of like either minor celebrities, or they might have one like, you know, crown jewel type celebrity or whatever, and you know they, and then they have their dealer hall and their games.
I think part of the celebrity thing is that celebrities have realized and companies have realized you can make money off celebrity appearances. It's no longer the days where you get name a minor TV sci-fi celebrity. The guy, what was the guy that played Greatest American Hero?
William Katz.
William Katz. Like you call up his agent and go, hey, we're doing X, and it would be awesome if we could get him to come, and, you know, we'll put him up, we'll pay him to come out, we'll give him a room, and, you know, he can sell, you know, autographs, and, you know, da 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 da, and we'll pay a little appearance fee. And he'd be like, oh, great, you know, I'd love to go and meet the fans and kind of interact with people and kind of, you know.
Right.
Now it's like, oh, no. You know, not anything against William Katz. Is like, you know, it's like, no, you got to pay X for my client to arrive. We got to have this and this, because this has become a business. It's like, I remember one of my first interactions like this way was at the Comic-Con in Philly. I went out to the Comic-Con in Philadelphia because they were having the MechWarrior Nationals tournament, and a mutual friend of ours that will go nameless was in the tournament.
Right.
And they had this large area set up, and it was all Star Wars like people.
Right.
And the main draw was the guy that played Darth Maul,
Ray Parks.
And then it was all, you know, second Gungan that stood behind Jar Jar and, you know, yeah, I mean, it was downhill. And then it was Kenny Baker.
Right.
Who played R2. And I'm like, I'm sitting here looking at this going like, oh my God, it's Ray Parks, Kenny Baker, and extras.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this till I went and got it. This was a roving show. Like, all these people had signed up to this thing, and they were running the con circuit. And you went to this like carnival ticket booth up front, and you told them how many autographs you wanted, and they gave you little carnival tickets, and you went around and you went to the person and gave them the ticket, and they would do
Right.
And an interview for you, or an interview, I'm sorry, an autograph for you. And it was very weird because I hadn't had that experience before. And in my mind, that's really kind of where a lot of these things are. While you still do have your local homegrown conventions that will get a one or a two celebrity, it's now, this is big business. Trust mm-hmm. me, Bruce Campbell is not giving up anything to come to St. Louis mm-hmm. to do this. This is while this may not buy him his seventh Mercedes, this is definitely going, this is like, oh, the St. Louis Comic Con. I'm depositing that a check.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's the thing. It's like, I saw I was watching some Star Trek thing one day mm-hmm. with where they were talking to Patrick Stewart and all that, and they showed a picture of him at a Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like at a table and he had a sign there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that an autograph
oh, yeah.
was $95.
Oh, yeah. I suspect Shatner in St. Louis will be in that range.
Right. And I expect. Basically, you're going to have anybody that has a VIP package. Mm-hmm. I think their autographs are going to be anywhere from $40 to $50. Mm-hmm. Anybody who does not have a VIP package, mm-hmm. you're probably looking at anywhere from $20 mm-hmm. to $40 for an autograph. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that going to be that kind of thing. And that's why I was saying, it's like, you know, if you go to one of these things and mm-hmm. it's like, if you want an autograph and a picture,
mm-hmm.
you're looking at it, yeah. You know, $75, $80.
Oh, even if you bring something in for them to sign,
they still charge you the Ron Jeremy fee.
What was it? Was that $45 for him to sign your bottle?
No,
of,
no. I would have paid $45.
It was 25.
It was 15.
15. Oh, okay. That's not so bad. I remember
it was $20 for him to sign it, and all I had was $15, and she said, take it.
Yeah. Oh, but anyway, to complete my Kenny Baker story, it's like, this is like one of, like, this is also like kind of a sad, is like, so he's there, and Kenny Baker is not a young person. He has been around a while. And he was there, and he had all these pictures in front of him, and they were all of R2. There were no pictures of him. And I'm like, God, this is so sad. He's sitting here in the back corner, as far away from Ray Parks as you can get, signing pictures of the costume he wore. And I'm like, I don't know. I felt really bad for him, actually.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, this is, I don't know. Yeah. And it's like all of those guys, like the second Gungan behind what, you know, whatever. This guy, that's probably the most money he's ever made from a character ever. He's like, I'm so fortunate to have been in makeup and costume in this movie. I am now making a ton of money.
Right.
But it's like, on the other hand, it's like, for some of these guys, I'm like, oh my God, it's like, yeah, it's just, you know, and I can guarantee what happened is, like, there was a promoter. He started calling up anyone he could find, going, hey, I need a headliner. I need somebody from the original trilogy, and we just need film.
Yeah.
And it's just, and you are not getting, you know, Han Solo,
Mark Hamill. Harrison Ford.
Yeah, Harrison Ford. Fisher. Those people are either, A, do not do this stuff anymore on general principle, or B, are big enough, you know, making enough money that they don't have to do something like that.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you're, you know, to me, it's just an opportunity to meet the people.
Yeah.
It's like, if there was an artist there that I really like, mm-hmm. or even a writer, I'd want to stop by and mm-hmm. just be like, hey, I really like this thing that you wrote, you know? Just my way of basically saying mm-hmm. thanks. And, you know, that's basically what it is. And I guess where it's like, I guess the real difference is, it's like, you know, you're kind of, if it ever happened, like you bumped into him on the street, you'd be like, hey, I like that thing.
Hey, how's it going?
But you would never go out of your way.
I think part of it is because, even though, you know, that is why they're there, it just seems sort of like, oh, I'm going to stand in line and then have 3 seconds of time. I'm with this guy. And it's like, eh, okay.
Yeah.
Although last year, James Hong did ask me for my
dude. I'm telling you.
My resume. So there you go.
Yeah, he's a good old guy.
So yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, have we beaten this?
That's a horse that's well beaten. And it'll probably be beaten further in the future.
Oh yeah.
So I started watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh goody.
Yeah, I know Tina Sabi's into it.
Mm-hmm. You two can chat.
And I tell you the truth, it's like I started watching it like over a year ago, and mm-hmm. I watched like the first pilot episode, and I was kind of mm-hmm. like, eh, you know, it was all right, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of corny. But, mm-hmm. you know, when you have a title like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it's, yeah. you know, what really
Well,
really
and the movie was pretty...
I never saw yeah. the movie. So, I don't know. So then I'm watching this, so... And then I've worked for the school district, so we've been having a butt ton of snow days. So I was sitting here one day. I'm like,
you.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to see. I'm going to give this show as much of a chance as I can. I'm just going to start marathoning these things back to back. And I'd say about midway through the first season, you get just past that point where it's kind of like first season syndrome. Like when you watch a Star Trek or anything like that, yeah. or any of these genre shows for the first season, it's like, oh, they go to this place and they fight a big bug monster. Oh, they go to this yeah. place and
you're kind of setting
thing.
Up the rules, introducing yeah. the characters.
And it's very, you know, just, you know, going through the motions. It's some cheesy dialogue and some low budget effects. But then they kind of start bringing a little more story into it. The characters kind of really start to grow on you pretty quick. And by the end of the first season, it was pretty entertaining. The second season really takes off on a good foot. I've been all the way through the second season, and I'm almost through the third season completely on Buffy. And then I basically read online that at that point you need to start watching Buffy and Angel at the same time.
Yeah, because yeah, they
because they were on the air at the same time. But if one thing has come from watching Buffy, other than the name of my dog, which is not Buffy, it made me more upset about Firefly being canceled because it's like I'm watching the show and I'm like, this show is really good. You know, I never would have expected that I would be sitting here like marathoning episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, watching it and enjoying it as much as I've been enjoying it. And I'm like, you know, Firefly's first season was amazing. If it had continued on with the same pattern, it had probably been even more amazing.
See, I'm having to say, it's like I started watching Dollhouse.
Yeah, I couldn't get into Dollhouse.
Really? Yeah, I see.
I'd have to try it again.
I can't get into Buffy.
Oh.
So, but yeah, Dollhouse kind of has, you know, it's got its issues, but it's like I'm sort of liking the weird, you know, their minds are wiped, but yet they're still kind of retaining these weird random nuggets of personality.
Right.
Now, in admittedly, from what I hear in the second, I'm almost through the first season, which, you know, it's taking me forever to get through it, but I hear the second season is very odd because he knew the show wasn't being renewed, so he kind of shoved everything into the second season, so apparently it could feel a little bit rushed.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm having that same. That's like I'm really kind of liking the characters, and it's like, man, it's like,
yeah, and fucking
Firefly got up. You know, 10 episodes, and you know, then he got unceremoniously thrown out on his ass.
One of the characters I like, and I'm really hoping watching more of it that they kind of do just a bit more with him than what they've done, is the character Oz.
Okay,
He's a guitarist. He's dating Willow, who's the girl from I Married Your Mother.
Oh, yeah. How I Met Your Mother and the American Pie movies.
Yeah, I can't remember her name now for the life of me.
Hagelin.
Allison Hannigan.
So, enough. Yeah, he, Corey, I think Ozzy doesn't remember very far. Sorry.
Yeah. So anyway.
You'll always have your dog to remember him by.
Yeah, anyway, but... Ozzy is also a werewolf. But he's got he's a man of few words in the show. And he really kind of cracks me up because when he says something, it's almost like there's two meanings to whatever he's saying. They're very, very, he's very glib. He's very funny. And it just makes me laugh. The other character that I was kind of tempted to name my dog was the character of Spike, which was, you know. And I don't know if you saw any episodes with Spike, but he is very entertaining.
I have seen a smattering of episodes from every season, so I know the general plot. But
you're not a big horror person either.
I'm not.
So
you have Ozzy the dog, and I have Simon the cat.
Yeah. It's like Simon and River Simon.
Yeah.
Simon.
Yeah, we were tempted to rename the one cat River for a little while. We decided not to.
Yep. But it's a good show. I have to honestly say that I'm very surprised, and I just sit there and I look forward to watching episodes. And it's funny, my wife Claire, she is into Supernatural. She really loves Supernatural, and she's like, "Well, Buffy can't be as good as Supernatural." And I'm like, you know, Supernatural's in the house that Buffy built, really, because it was on before Supernatural. Mm-hmm. Supernatural came on a couple of years after Buffy was on.
Oh, yeah, many years. Yeah.
You know, and it was, because I think Buffy ended in, like, 2004 or something like
Oh, it lasted a long time. Yeah.
And it was, like, I think Supernatural started in 2006 or 2005 or something. Yeah. But basically, they're like, hey, our Supernatural show's off the air. We need a new Supernatural show. What do we... We'll call it Supernatural. And we won't
have...
We won't have we won't have a girl fighting demons. We'll have guys fighting demons this time.
Yeah, Buffy is really well-liked in the geek community as being one of those shows that is very female. I won't say heavy, but focused. Yeah. Where it kind of breaks women out of a lot of the stereotypes you get in, like, fantasy.
Right.
And it is, for you know, whatever you want to say about it, is very well regarded in that way.
It's pretty well written. It's very character-driven. There's a shit ton of love triangle stuff. I mean, I wouldn't even call them triangles, like, you know...
Hexagons.
Yeah, octagons and whatever. But, you know, and so there's a point where I'm just kind of like, all right, you guys can stop with the love cross, you know.
Yeah.
It's like Xander likes Buffy, he likes Willow, he likes, you know, this girl, and, you know, he sleeps with Faith. He's all over the place, and it's just like.
It's the rare love circle.
Yeah. Everybody gets a turn with everybody. Mm-hmm. It's just that kind of show. But
90210, the
vampire
slaying.
Years, yes. But I have to say, it's very entertaining, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I have been subjected to a show called Haven.
Haven,
which is apparently, and the more I find out about the show, the more I really realize why I don't really like it. It's not horrible, don't get me wrong, but it is a sci-fi original show. There you go, strike one. And for me, it is roughly based on a Stephen King short story.
Okay.
Which is kind of like a downer for me. And yeah, it's supernatural light. It's like it's a town in New England that has, quote, the troubles, unquote, which where these people start gaining these weird powers / curses.
Yeah.
So where, and apparently they run in like the family. So like the troubles will start and everyone starts manifesting these powers, and they can range from suddenly everyone you talk to really likes you to you attract bullets to where when there is a 100-foot radius around you, if there is a bullet fired, it will come to you.
Nice.
And everything in between. And it's like basically there are people in the show that are, Win dingoes, which are kind of like the weird northeastern chupacabra thing.
The Wendigo?
Wendigo. Yeah, they called them Wendigos in the show. Wendigo, whatever.
Those are like, the Wendigo is kind of like an abominable snowman?
No. This is like, they run through the woods and they feasted on human flesh flesh. Anyway, it's apparently a thing in New England. Whatever. So anyway, so these people start turning into that, and some of that, and then there's like there's hunters, and this woman shows up who has someone else's memories, and she apparently shows up every time the troubles start to help the troubled. And then, so yeah, and it's kind of cheesy. It's kind of PG, maybe PG-13 in a couple of places, but you know, kind of designed, I think, is a more of a family type show, but it's like some of the dialogue is horrific.
Yeah. Speaking of that, there is a show on Netflix. It's a Netflix original show called Hemlock Grove.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of that. Yeah.
Do not bother. Yeah. It's a show. And I put it in the queue and I never got around to watching it. And Claire got around to watching it and she's like, you gotta watch this show. So we watched the first episode and it was like, okay. Some of the dialogue was kind of bad, and the Femke Janssen is in it, and she is the girl who played Jean Grey in the X-Men movies, and she plays this, I don't even know what you want to call her, she talks like this all the time, mm-hmm. darling. You know, it's just, it's really, it's the worst accent you'd ever want to hear. It's so phony and so bad. And her portrayal is horrible. And the dialogue in this show is absolutely horrendous. Mm-hmm. There are some things that are just cringingly bad. I'm not saying it was, but it feels like it was written by somebody from Lost, because they just keep introducing weird stuff and never explaining anything.
Mm-hmm.
The story just continuously gets more weird and they don't do anything with it. And it's like, I can only handle building a mystery so long before I just stop caring. Mm-hmm. And I'm just that kind of person. It's like, all right, you know, you're going to write yourself into a point where mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to explain all the mysteries you've tried to build.
Now, in a non-nerd, but, you know, the Netflix original, House of Cards is really good. It is definitely a political drama type show. It is not, there is nothing science fiction about it. Right. But that is a very, it's got Kevin Spacey, and it's very well written. There's only a couple of plot holes type things, and it's like, and I really enjoy it because it's, while it's a political drama, and it's a TV drama, they're making an effort to kind of keep it real. And let me explain that, isn't that there are some things that that happen in the show. That if it had been what I would like, you know, your standard, you know, prime time show, the writers just wouldn't get like, well, of course this person's going to have to be killed.
Right.
Where in reality, you do not order hits on people.
Right.
You know, that's just not something that really happens. And in this show, it's like there towards the end of the first season, then some of that type of mentality starts to creep in a little bit.
Right.
But they're sort of like, you know, oh, well, this thing's happened. Now we've got to deal with it. And they deal with it in a, while it's still an overdramatic, like, Washington type way of people that have power, it is not like, oh, well, we're just going to have to kill him.
Right.
Order, you know, send out Hector the assassin.
Right.
You know, and I really kind of enjoy that. And it's very character-based, very character-driven. You know, yeah. So anyway, I won't go on about it too much because it's not, you know.
But it is something that I've seen on Netflix that I want to
maybe you watch it.
Give a shot. I've got some stuff in my queue right now I'm trying to get through. I want to finish Buffy and Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got Burn Notice in there, which I've heard is mm-hmm. pretty good.
That's what I've heard too.
And then I might watch some other stuff, but yeah.
The second season of House of Cards is starting in February, so it's coming up. Yeah, something else in a related note, it's like, you know, Amazon was going to start producing their own series, and they produced Alpha House, which is another political drama, and it's like, and I got through the half of the first season, and it kind of lost me a little bit, even though it has John Goodman in it, who I really like, and he is really, really good. It's just, yeah, it's not bad. It's just kind of, I'm going to have to give it a try again, but it's like they had a pilot for a animated sci-fi show, and I haven't heard anything about it since. And it was kind of like it was pretty. I think we talked about it before on the podcast. It's like I'm kind of waiting to see if they're going to wind up producing it. So
yeah, they also do the Zombieland.
Zombieland, which was horrible. Oh my god! I watched five minutes of it and like turned it off. It was like, oh my god, I can't watch this.
I know some other station is doing a From Dusk Till Dawn.
No.
TV series.
Yeah, I kind of feel we're entering the golden age of online like TV content. It's like Hulu is producing independent content, strictly for the internet.
Right.
Netflix is, Amazon is, you know, these companies have money. To throw this, so it's not, you know, Banana Man, the YouTube channel. Right. These are produced.
My son found one on Netflix called Video Game High School, VGHS mm-hmm. or whatever, and he got us to watch the first couple episodes, and it's actually pretty funny if you play video games. They have a lot of different references to different things, and it's got a lot of good humor in it.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the next couple of years to see what comes out, because really I think the reason I think this is gonna be a golden age is everyone's grasping for what is gonna become the new medium, and so they're willing to try TV shows that may not get the audience that would let them be on like a ABC. Like, right. Maybe they would get half that audience, which is still awesome for Netflix.
Right.
But it's like, so you can have a really awesome, like, concept now is getting the money it deserves to be made into a well-produced show, but would never have made it on NBC at prime time. So you're getting a lot of niche, you know, what would be considered niche, like video game high school.
Right.
You know, like, you know, and I'm really hopeful a lot of things are going to come, you know, come out of this. Now what's going to happen in a few more years is the ABCs of the world will realize in order to survive that they're gonna have to do this. They're gonna start buying up all these content and making crap. But for now,
or
I think
they'll start their
own
internet channel with their own ABC
making
exclusive
crap. Yeah, the ABC will still be in the mentality of, oh, we need to get 18 million viewers, and how do you do that? Well, we have Leno come out and give the same boring monologue he's given for 15 years.
Not bitter, are you?
No. All right. So Hulu. Like, I am a big fan of the Daily Show.
Right.
And Jon Stewart is going to produce his, or not Jon Stewart, John Oliver is going to be on HBO, is going to produce his new show, which I really want to see, and I don't have HBO, but that's another story. So when I watch the Daily Show, now Hulu, if you do not stop, uh-huh, it just goes to like another program, and then it goes to Colbert Report, which I don't like as much, but I watch. It's funny, you know.
Right.
Then after that, it goes to late night talk shows.
Uh huh.
And for whatever reason, I got to the end of the Daily Show, and then I must have went into the living room and down to the basement, did laundry, and blah blah blah, and came back, and Tina had fallen asleep, and it was just running.
Right.
And I came in on Jimmy Fallon.
Uh huh.
And he was doing two-person ping pong where they wore a gigantic sweater where one person had their hand out of one sweater side and the other person, and they were playing ping pong. And this skit went on for like 5 minutes. And I'm like, first off, this concept is weak at best.
Right.
And then after the first couple of like volleys, the comedy had been wrong. From this. And they had, it was Jessica Alba on. So I don't know if Jimmy Fallon just wanted an excuse to be under a giant sweater with Jessica Alba. But she was doing it like a champ. Like, she was really kind of like, you know, trying to keep it light. And you know, but I'm like, this is horrible. What?
Yeah.
What? And I'm like, that is what I'm afraid you're going to get. See, even Ozzy agrees that sounds awful.
I know, doesn't it, Ozzy?
So anyway, not to get off on that, it's like, but that is why I'm glad for these internet, is like, you, there are more options.
I agree, and I think I maybe will just draw it to a close on that. I think we've
plethora of options.
Yes.
Oh, if you're not following us on Facebook, you should. I have been making it a point to try and post stuff on Facebook. You can watch a video of Stormtroopers twerking, which is just as exciting as you're imagining. And then I also posted some stuff this week about I kind of like got lost on the board game geek blog, or not blog, forums, and I've been trying to figure out a way to store my Settlers of Catan. Like, right. I have a number of expansions now, and there's all these boxes, and how do you keep them all together? And I kind of got like I reposted a couple of pieces about how to store, you know, Settlers, and how to do a DIY version where you just use some foam core in the box.
Right.
And then I posted a Kickstarter I found for like a travel box. So that'll be our Kickstarter of the week. I won't go into it here. You should go and find us on Facebook.
Right.
Where I've already written about it.
Oh, there you go.
See? Segway. I'm good. Segway. So, Corey, you were trying to end this rolling monstrosity?
Yep. Goodbye.
All right. If you want to follow us, find us, email us at info@nerdytimes.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook@nerdytimes.com. Find us on Twitter at Twitter/TheNerdyTimes. Is that it? Facebook, Twitter, email, website, nerdytimes.com.
Yep. If you're finding this podcast, you found the website.
Go to our, please leave us a review on iTunes, which you can find a link on nerdytimes.com. And I had one more thing I wanted to, the nerdy events calendar on the website. I have been adding stuff to it. So if you want to know what conventions are going to be in the St. Louis and surrounding metro area, or just any general nerdy events, I bet like the Star Clipper, thank you, is having a number of events coming up. They have a, apparently there's a new music genre called nerdcore, which is nerd rapping. So fair enough. So they're having some like in-store concerts related to that. There is a local person called Dr. Dan the Pancake Man, who makes, like, they're really good. You know, they are pancakes in the shape of things, where it not only is it just the shape, it's like different, like, it's pretty good. Now, admittedly, it's a pancake, but it is fairly interesting. He's done like some Serenity pancakes and some, you know, Mario pancakes and what have you. And
has he done a nude Eliza Dushku pancake?
If you should go to his Facebook and you should like him, and then you can suggest that. I think recently he did an interview for Good Morning America or something, blah, 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 blah. He's getting some attention. Anyway, Dr. Dan the Pancake Man. Can find on Nerdy Times, on the Nerdy Events, all these events. And they're all linked back to their original sources, so you can go to these events and do nerdy things in the St. Louis area. Anyway, we're trying to end this.
That's right.
Goodbye!
So for me and Dan, this is us saying have a great week.
Bye.
Goodbye.